Then one day, Professor Jerry Gana, then minister, he came to Enugu. One of our brothers organized a program, so he was the chairman of the president of our association. So when I went for Bible study, it was a Saturday night program. So I came late for the meeting. So they invited me to the high table. And Professor Jerry Gana was the chairman, was the main, the big guy of this. So I came to the high table. Very nice man. He stood up to greet me. So that young man said, "Sir, this is my mentor." I was the second. I said, "Oh, I'm a mentor. Okay, fine. This is what they call mentorship. So no problem." Now, these so-called mentees, there was never an arrangement of mentorship. They just were paying attention to me. They just were listening to me. They will come to me and discuss their decisions. When things are confusing to them, they will come. That's it. But these people that come and say, "Yeah, I want you to mentor me," tell them, "We teach Tuesdays and Saturdays." They are too busy. They can't come. But if I told the same people that I want to pour water on my hands to go and wash my car, they will wash my car. If I told them, all right, to send me money regularly, buy me clothes, they will do all of these things. Why? Elisha, they think, poured water on the hands of Elijah. But that was not what happened. Please, don't get me wrong. Remember, we're trying to strike a balance. I'm not saying these things are bad, though. They are good. They are necessary in their proper places. But let us understand why Elisha was able to receive the anointing of Elijah. Not just when he sits into a preacher's life. In a preacher's life, there are the two things are found in the scriptures. One, to honor God, just for the sake of, that's the end of it. Two, because the man has been a blessing to you. Paul said, if you have taken of our spiritual substance, that God said it is right for you to exchange it for material substance. That's it. You see people giving to preachers they don't listen to. They don't, that is not, just because he has the grace they want. Elisha and Elijah, let me tell you what happened. The day I understood that was when one of our brothers, Israel, when he was getting married, our co-workers came together. The wife was going to marry. Stay with us for some time. So he was very close with my wife. So one day, something happened, and I said, "This is what the Bible was saying." Those days, I didn't have my wife again. "This young woman, you're carrying my wife away." What do I mean by that? I will be upstairs. I'll wake up, maybe wake up at 12 midnight. I look, I'm the only one in the room. So I come and I go downstairs. I see Jedidiah and my wife. They will be doing something, sha, but they will be talking. So that particular day I came down, my wife was losing her hair. So she sat on the floor, and Jedidiah sat on the chair, and they were talking, and she was losing the hair. And she was asking her every kind of question. She was about to get married. My wife had been married at that time for over 10 years. "How do you do this? How do you do that? What happens when this happens? What happened when this one happened?" And this went on for weeks. So it dawned on me. This is the Jedidiah that loosened Mrs. B's hair. That's what people will say. But they will forget that when Elisha is pouring water on Elijah's hands, they are discussing the moves of the Spirit. She's telling him what God said yesterday. She's telling Elisha, "No, you don't take offerings from people like Naaman." Do you get my point? Are you getting my point? She's telling Elisha, there is a time to receive. There is a time you don't receive. Not when Naaman's come. There are other issues at stake. They are talking about it. This is how the Holy Spirit comes. This is how God speaks. This is how the Holy Spirit comes. When God speaks, this is how you respond. "There was a time I went to the mountain. I saw the rocks cracking. God was not there. I saw fire burning. God was not there. I saw wind. God wasn't there. Oh boy, until I was silent. Suddenly I heard the sound of a gentle blowing. Then I bowed my head." Do you get my point? He keeps telling, and these guys were together for years while God was preparing Elisha to receive the anointing. Finally, he said to him, and you must understand this, he said, "I'm about to go. What do you want?" I said, "I want two portions, double portion of your anointing." He said, "This is a hard thing. But if you will see me," that is, listen to this, "if you will maintain the focus you have had all the years, he that endures to the end shall be saved." This is the end. You have focused on me all these years. You have seen my manner of life. Pastor Max, remember that your favorite scripture? Paul, you've observed, give it to me again. You like it so much. You've heard my doctrine, my manner of life, my faith, my love, and my perseverance. Those are the things that Paul said to Timothy. He said, you have observed all of these things. He said, now I'm about to go. He that endures to the end shall be saved. So focus, make sure you don't lose anything as I leave. It was not the water he gave him. It was that proximity. Let's understand the scriptures very well. And not misunderstand it when the Bible says money answers all things. The Bible, in fact, I don't have time to teach on Ecclesiastes. Solomon said next to nothing sensible in that whole book. Some of you say, eh? It's not me that said it. He said it himself. He said, I looked at everything and said, everything is useless. And I've started that one. I have to clarify it, Pastor Max. I have to clarify it. Please, watch out. I'm reading a book sometime later. Oh, okay, go to our website. Download the whole series. You can get it. That's it. That's what I'm putting down in writing. Just go the whole of Ecclesiastes. I taught on it from beginning to the end. From beginning to the end, I taught on it. Now, listen. So I'm not trying to... So I know... I'm not trying to say that what he was saying... Let me give an example. He will say to you, the better is the dead than the living. And better than both of them is the one that was never born. What do you think? Is that sensible to you? It's why he said it, you should bear in mind. If you read the preceding verses, if you read those verses before it, you know what he was just saying? That this life is so frustrating. I have seen the powerful oppress the poor, and nobody could deliver him. He was crying about injustice. He said, so I said to myself, this life is so useless. It's better to be dead than to be alive. And better than the two of these are the person that never saw it. It was a frustration of a man. It was not the word of God. It was a man's frustration. Now, that people say Solomon wrote when he was backsliding. No, he wasn't. He gave insight, the type that if God opens your eye to it, you know it's the depth of revelation. He was explaining to you that you see this whole world you are living in, that they said there's no God. They are all frustrated people. He analyzed the whole of life and said, without God, it has no meaning. So what he did was to compartmentalize it. He would say, listen, let's look at justice system. He said, look at it. Because it wasn't like that, how come the rich get off? Not only in Nigeria, don't say in Nigeria, in America too. If you are, look, most of the black boys who go to jail is because they don't have money for a good lawyer. Solomon said it's frustrating. Why should a man go to jail because he doesn't have money? He said, it shows that the justice system is upside down, is useless. He said, I look at life, I don't want to live here. I wish I was dead. Now, just for them, just conclude that. That is why people blow themselves up. It's frustration. That is why a Palestinian little boy, 16, will take a knife and attack a company of 10 soldiers who are armed with submachine guns. Do you think he thought he would live? But you know what the boy is saying? Better is the dead than the living. Living as a Palestinian, watching Israel, you know, the Israel of today, in his own assessment, let's go into the doctrine of who did God give, who did God did not give. I'm not going to that. But the boy, young boy is just frustrated. He was raised to hate the Jews. And you see them, they had the best guns. The most powerful nation in the world is on their side. Do you understand? The most powerful nation in the world is on their side. So out of frustration, the boy says, better to be dead than to live under these circumstances. And better is the last child that my mother miscarried because he never saw these things. So that's what I mean. So don't misunderstand what I'm talking about. Solomon was telling you that life without God is useless. So when he said money answers all things, I don't have time to explain it now. You know what he was saying? He said, through idleness of hand, the roof sags. He first started by saying that blessed is the land. Let me read it. Let's just quickly open there, please, so that I can clarify that before you go ahead. You go and go and say, that man is a useless man of God. He said that something's not scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let's just quickly read that. Like I said, it's balanced that we're trying to. Please try and come on time tomorrow so I can start on time.
I have so much to say. Plenty. So much. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let me just read that one and explain it. He said from verse 16. Woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad, and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility, and whose princes eat at the appropriate time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Now, when the people are... Now, I'm going to explain as I go on, so as to save time. He said, when the ladies and the princes don't know what they are supposed to do, through indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. Why? The rulers are small boys who don't know what to do with money. What do? Men, they prepare a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry. He said, but this is how money goes. The money that was supposed to be used for fixing things. Do we need to talk about Nigerian politics? Please read that in the Amplified Bible. Amplify analyzed it a different way. He said that this is what they use tax money for. Wow. He said, when the princes are young, they don't have sense. They collect the money from the people and use it to eat and drink. He was not saying money is the solution to everything. He was speaking in context. He said, people just be eating and drinking. He said, so goes their money. So let's get it clear. I'm just going to emphasize something to us here. Solomon was not saying that once you have money, you solve all problems. He wasn't saying that. He couldn't have been saying that. He was saying that everything is vanity. I hope you're getting my point here. He was explaining to us that everything is what? Vanity. Everything is vanity. So let's leave Solomon out of this, in that area. Back to what I was saying. Elijah, it was not that just by serving a man of God you will be blessed. I've seen people, they leave their work to serve a man of God. There's nothing wrong with serving. But why are they doing it? They said this is a passport to prosperity. You know, they take a testimony. Let me tell you something, the problem with testimonies. Usually, the testimonies, the spiritual principles that work in that testimony has to be decoded with somebody that has understanding. If you just hear the story, you cannot tell what happened. A brother told me a story once. Then I was impressed by it. I listened to it and I said, my God, I should have corrected him. But I didn't know much better anyway. A few young men, one day they were driving past. They found out, it's not now, this was many years ago, they found out this is Bishop Oyedepo's house. So they said, let's stop now and see Bishop. So they talked to themselves and said, look, we can't go empty-handed. It's not right. Let's take a gift. So they left. Went and bought things and brought it back. They had no appointment. But, you know, those early days. So they were allowed into Bishop's house. And Bishop Oyedepo, in his typical manner, when he came down, he said, this was what he said to them. He said that, I heard you guys brought some things, because his wife had received them. They had given her the things they brought. So she reported to him that the young men that came to see you, about four of them, that they brought us some stuff for. So he came down and told them that, I heard you guys brought some things. You know what he said? You are very wise. He didn't say thank you. He doesn't tell you thank you. He said, you are very wise. Then he talked with them, told them testimony, just talked about the move of God and all of that. And when they were about to leave, he told them to kneel down. And he blessed them with anointing to prosper in life. He prayed for them. Now, the person telling me the story, one of their friends, he said after that time, I don't know whether it was they were doing business before or it was after that time they started. But make a long story short, those days when I was working for 6,000 naira a month, these boys were making millions. And they were young men. And he linked it with the anointing that Bishop poured upon them. And it's possible. I mean, there's grace. Later on we'll talk about it. There's grace. Then he now said that he has made up his mind, though. He's going to be washing Bishop's clothes. He's going to find a way to get in so that regularly. Error. Thank you. See, the error has begun now. Those young men didn't go there looking for anything. They were just passing. They perceived that the holy man of God lives here. And they felt that, no, it wouldn't be right for us to go and not give him anything. So they went up. And they didn't come there looking for anointing for anything. They just thought it was an exciting thing to be a blessing to this man. And the man came down and blessed them. And the anointing stuck with them. Please read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. You will know such men didn't start such things that day. See, that's where our errors start. So somebody now said, I am going to be washing bishop's clothes. There's no honor in it. There's selfishness in it. This is how my men, my friends made it. I need to go and make it too. So I'm going to... So a lot of young people, churches have, I'm sorry to say this, sometimes they have a grip on people like that. Don't leave the cover. See, these people, they are not church workers. They have a business, they work for somebody else, but they are irresponsible at work. Why? Here is a cover. They are afraid to go out and do any other thing because with this man of God is the cover. Listen to me. It's only in Christ Jesus that you have cover. No man can cover you. No man. He that dwells in the secret place of the pastor shall abide under the cover of the man of God. Is that what the Bible says? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow or the cover of the Almighty. God checks our motives. People turn godliness into the means of gain. That's what I'm talking about. And we're not allowed to do that. What is godliness? I like the way James said it. The fellow that knows to do right. Just continue doing what is right. This story I've told many times. I went to one December. Normally relax. I don't go around preaching in December. So I went with my wife to a couple's meeting. And people were discussing witchcraft. They thought it was Christianity. I'll tell you what they were discussing, then I'll tell you what they said. They were discussing how to manipulate your husband. Yes, so people were given ideas. If you want your husband to do something and he has not agreed, what do? You will start praising God. You will worship him. You will now cook your husband's best meal. Then you will do this one. You will kneel down properly for him. You will talk nicely to him. My blood, they provoke. I just sit down. Because I say it's December. I'm not preaching. Let me be listening. The woman has to them and say, what if you have tried all of these things and he still doesn't change his mind? What didn't I hear that day? You've heard people say that I took his picture and I struck with his mantle and he agreed the next day. When you begin to do Yahya matter, you won't know this is witchcraft. That's how witchcraft starts. People don't know it's witchcraft just because they're in church. What is witchcraft? Using spiritual power to get what you want. It's witchcraft. Using spiritual power to get your own purposes. That is what witchcraft is. That they are just too there. What will man do if you have done everything and he does not agree? And that person will stand up. You not try praise. You know those kind of things we say as if God in a computer. Download this app. Upload this script. Just so God can do what you want. At that point, I couldn't take it anymore. I put up my hand. I needed to speak. I said, brethren, there's what is called godliness with contentment. I said, you're a woman, why will you do all these things for your husband? I said, it's because they are right, not because you want anything. If it's right to talk softly to your husband, whether you need something or you don't need it, talk softly. If it's right to cook and make him happy, whether you need something and you don't need something, cook and make him happy. I said, when you have done that, leave it there. Oh, one of those things my wife learned early. You can't make this guy change his mind by crying or cooking or sleeping with him I paid your father 200 naira for all of these things. So there is nothing. There is nothing. It's my right. It's my right. How you give me my right there? I'll now give you something back. Listen, now your sister I married, 200 bucks. Look, don't be deceived though. Delta people are like that. They say 200 naira. The amount of wine you go buy, eh? The 200 naira, so you can't collect a refund. The day you come back for the refund, they give you your 200 naira, go. The Lord is good. No, my wife learned that in earlier. I told her, I said, baby, listen, what you need to do is, let us reason together. You just, if it's reasonable, we do it. It's not, we manipulate. Listen, so that day I told the congregation that place, I said, people, we do what is right because the things are right. That is what is called godliness with contentment. So if what the man does not agree, must he agree? If he always agrees, he's no longer a man. He's no longer in charge. He's no longer in authority. Must he agree? Sometimes it is God that is disagreeing, not him. No, it's important we get it. Christians, listen, let's learn to do what is right. I need to say some of these things so at least I know we made some progress today. Listen, there are things money cannot do for you. I think I wrote them, a few of them down. Let me see what I did. Yes. Money cannot pay for your sins. You cannot give it a special offering to pay for your sins. It doesn't work. I need to drop some of these things. You can't. The blood of Jesus alone pays for sins. Christians are forgiven when they repent and confess. Or which one goes first? They go together. They repent, they confess their sins. Listen to that. I need to say this one. Money does not break ancestral curses. When they tell you it does, they are threatening you to get your money. A cash offering does not break ancestral curses. A man came to my city once. Very funny story. They read some books by one prophet. I've heard these people be analyzing for you how 3 generations ago, your grandfather was an Ogbanje spirit, Abi. Was a Dibia, a Babalawo. And that's what's worrying your family today. You now be looking for deliverance. Rubbish. They ask you, do you know where your placenta is? Yes, it's rotten. Bacteria has eaten it. What do I look like? Placenta investigator. People go to church and they ask you, where's your placenta? Ask the pastor, where's your own? No, ask now, pastor, where's your own placenta? They tell all kinds of stories about generational problems. A man came to town like that. I finished telling the story about Enugu. He now said, today we will break the curse over this city. Just by the way, preachers, what breaks the curse, or what breaks curses over cities, is the preaching and the practicing of truth. When Paul wanted to preach, break the curse in Ephesus, he sat down one spot for how many? 3 years, thank you. The man sat down there. He said, day and night, I did not shy away from giving you the whole counsel of God. That was why Demetrius panicked too. And said, they couldn't worship idols again because Paul was in one corner teaching day and night. That is, break bread in the morning, teach in the afternoon, at night, do revival. People tell you, see, Paul was walking. Go and read the story. That was all before Timothy arrived. When Timothy and Silas arrived, he committed himself fully to that work. The reason why we have not broken all the curses in our cities is that we are not preaching enough. We are too busy raising money. If in every all the signboards you see in Port Harcourt, 70% are fake pastors. You know. You are Port Harcourt people. You know. I don't need to come to, from Enugu to come and tell you that one. So the 30% that are remaining. If they will. Let them just preach only 5 times a day. 5 times a week, I wanted to say. I'm serious. 5 days a week. 1 hour every evening. They are there preaching and teaching the word of God. You won't recognize this city in 2 years. That is truth. I'm not just coming to church to shout, oh, my enemy, die by fire, die by fire. Die. No, that's not the one I'm talking. I'm talking about you really sit down and say, let us see what Jesus said about money as an example. How do we get delivered from our sins? What did the blood of Jesus achieve? Take the blood of Jesus. Go. Derek Prince has this fantastic series on the one all-sufficient sacrifice. Like 20 messages. He will break down every single spiritual truth that you can imagine. Let the pastor take it and say, okay, we're taking this for the next 40 services. Let churches do it all over the town. You will be surprised. You won't recognize the city at the end of 2 years. Even the roads will be tarred. This smoke in the air, that will be the first to go. This suit that's dropping. Now, I'm going to explain something. The man came and nothing like that will break the curse over the city. You know what he said? Pastor Mark, no difference, eh? Who will bring 1 million naira for the curse over him? I feel like, oh, God, come. We were okay until you came. We will live here. We are not breaking the curse over the city with this your offerings. We teach the word of God there every day. Nobody say, man, they brag, oh. Eh? But when you get to Enugu, the city is so fine. I told people that now it's because we are preaching. Because when I came, there wasn't like that. Armed robbers had control of the city. Many of my colleagues were put in boots of cars. Where I lived, the thieves used the part of time. You know, God has been blessing me for a long time. When I got there that time, in fact, it was with prayer. People just prayer, but they told me that what the thieves used to do, they will come, you know, plenty of them. Whether you get barbed wire, electric wire, it didn't matter. You know why? They came with a weapon to break your fence. They broke a hole in the fence and walked through. If you lock your door, they will break the wall and enter. That was what they used to do. You come out of a bank with bag in your hand, trouble. The same Enugu. All the roads were bad. But now, we have voted the safest city in Nigeria. All our major roads are good. You see people jogging. We are joggers running all over the place. Why? It's because no car is coming to jam. You're on the sidewalk. I say it's a beautiful city. I tell people, I say, why? I say, because we are preaching. When we began preaching, it wasn't like that. These days, no, ask my men, ask him, Kanko, if you feel like blessing the city, we'll carry the word there. Let's bless the city. We'll carry the word. Let's be preaching there for the next 2 years. People receive that word, the city will be blessed. A man came there and said, well, come and give. Who will give 1 million to break the curse over the city? Tell my wife, I beg, let's go home. This service is over. I'm sorry to say, it's fraud. Your 1 million does not break any curse over any city. It doesn't. Your offering does not break any curse in your life. It doesn't. You cannot use an offering to get an husband. You can't use offering to get wife. You cannot use offering to get healed. Yes, sir. If you want to give, give. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, sir. If you want to give, give. Stop tying. Look, these are the lies. I'm sorry to put it like that, but it's the truth. Because I know the men who preach this, they don't believe them. They don't believe them. One of my friends, the pastor, told me what this guy used to do. So when service starts, he would tell him, oh boy, do your work. That's the name for him, Philip, something like that. Is it Philip that found the boy that had 5 loaves and 3 fish? Do your Philip work. Then we'll go out of the church. We stand there, they look. Who comes to church with better car? I'm serious. He will mark them, supply information to his pastor, and that one will use it to preach. He's directing prophecies to you according to the size of your motor car. He knows you are not well. He knows you see a doctor. He knows you're planning for surgery. So you give a special seat today, your sickness will go. And he knows you are rich. Let me say, your special seed is not going to get you healed. What gets you healed is that Jesus died for your sins, nailed your sickness to the cross, and you rise up to the point that you believe it. The only other thing I need to add is you repent, because sometimes Christians tie themselves to problems with dead works. You repent of dead works. People say Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek and secured the destiny of his children. I hope you don't believe that. Because it is not true. If you want the destiny of your children to be secure, I'll tell you what you do. You pray for them. You tell them to kneel down. You sustain them with grain and with new wine, with words. Then you pray to God for them. A revelation God gave me recently. Just an understanding, not a big thing. I just realized that unconsciously you thought that if you taught your children the word of God, they'll become good Christians. And the Holy Spirit made me realize that banking doesn't work like that. So I switched my prayer. I said, God, reveal yourself to them one by one. Let their Christianity not be hand me down. My father is a Christian, so I'm a Christian. No. Jesus, I beg. Enter their room, open the door, sit down. Tell them I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let them know you personally. I don't want to be them to say you are the God of my father. No, you are my God. I told my wife yesterday, I said, have you noticed? I said, I don't know about you. I said, but since that thing happened, I have perceived a different atmosphere when I'm teaching my children in the morning. Because before, unconsciously, you just want to teach and keep on educating. Yeah, see, this way they look like, oh, well, it doesn't work like this. Oh. This is not Islam. This is Christianity. Jesus must meet them one by one. I told my wife, Sabeh, okay, this prayer must change. The way you pray for a non-believer outside, double it, pray for your child. Whatever the God of this world wants to use to blind their eyes, it will not hold in the name of Jesus. They will see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. You pray for them like that. That's their destiny, not your offering. No, not your offering. Let's get this thing right, because you see, tomorrow I'm going to talk more about what money is, what we do with it. But when I was meditating, I realized that we needed to start with the wrong things we are locked in our minds. I'm not here to talk about the doctrine of tithing, whether Daddy Freeze or Father Freeze, what is his name again? Whether I was right or not. That's not what I want to talk about, but I want to say something briefly. No, Gabriel showed me a book once by E.G. Lynx. And E.G. Lynx pointed out three problems he had with the tithing doctrine. And when I read them, I said, God, this man is all right. He said, one, Christians end up having a sense of righteousness, as if we have done, you know, we have settled God. I can't remember the three now, but one of the things he had, he said, and really, I want to sit on that. It is an anointing. Let me tell you how God feels about it. He's heartbroken. You know, God can feel bad. He feels bad when his children come to him and they think that they have paid him off. You know, if a Christian has 100,000 and he gives out 10,000 to church or to a ministry or something, if he now adds 2,000 to it, you know, he feels very righteous. Like I have gone beyond. Listen, people of God, it is so wrong to have that attitude. If you give 10%, then you say, God, do you want more? Is this okay? Is there another thing to do? If you make it 50, it's still a privilege. Lord, thank you for giving us the strength, giving us the, because it's the Lord thy God that gives you the power to get. So thank you for the power to get this. Thank you for the heart to release it. Thank you. Then you go home. Don't ever get any shoulder of I have done. You have not done anything. Your money doesn't buy you a right to talk in God's presence. That is what the Bible calls righteousness, the right to talk in His presence. What buys it for you? He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is your faith in Christ Jesus and His finished work that gives you the right to talk when you want to pray, not your money. It is a sin punishable by serious affliction for you to go to His presence and show Him your tithe card. It is wrong. It is as wrong. It's an insult to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross and rose again on your behalf. You are insulting Him. Let me tell you how Christians give. They just derive joy in giving. They don't, listen to me. This is what I tell people. If you want to pray, let us assume now. There's one choice plot of land you had on Stadium Road here. How much is land here? 1,000 square meters. How much will it go for? I'm from Enugu. 40. Don't cheap. Enugu. 90. That sounds smaller because in Enugu I can get 30 million for this in Enugu too now. No, 50 service Enugu. So 90, that's more Port Harcourt like. Thank you very much. I like that. So you liquidate the land, 90 million. And give it, you split it in half, in two. One to the work of God, one to the needy, the helpless. You give out, and then, you have given. You start feeling righteous. Then you now want to pray. Now, you didn't do 10%, you did 100%. You now want to pray. And there's this unconscious thing as a believer, as a human being. Like, Father, we want to thank you. Your heart. We have done something. Heaven will move. We'll be moved. We have given a dangerous sacrifice. Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. This is 1,000,000 burnt naira. Hallelujah. you're feeling very happy. This is what I always tell Christians. Listen, this is how you're supposed to react. When you get there, you will kneel down. I say, Father, I wanted to pray about maybe health, about something that I need to pray about. But Lord, when I knelt down, my heart remembered the offering, and I felt that you will answer me because of it. I want to tell you I'm very sorry for such foolishness. In the name of Jesus, I confess my sin of pride, trust in flesh, trust in my works, thereby undermining the sacrifice of Jesus. I am so sorry. To prove to you I'm sorry, I will pray about it tomorrow. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Go. You are closer to the kingdom like that. You say, Lord, land. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. That earth is the Lord's. You are the one that owns the land. The power to sign an agreement to let it go and to collect the money. Whose power is it? If you choose to collect the 90 million like that, Lord, please, it's your money. It's such an honor to serve you. It's such an honor to be of service to you. Lord, thank you for the grace to give. Giving is by grace. Grace comes from Him. You worship Him and you leave it there. So what if I need something? You don't need to sell land to make requests. Requests are made on the power of the blood of the name of Jesus. And faith in that name. Please, let's get it. We must get this into our hearts. So that when we start talking about being a faithful steward, or being faithful stewards of divine resources, we won't do something and be raising shoulder for God. One woman was in hospital. One of our pastors went to go and visit her, and the woman was confused. This is Enugu. The land she sold in today's value, it should be close to 40 million naira. Let's just say 30. And she was sick in hospital when the pastor went to see her. He said, how can I be sick after I gave my land to the church? I was not the one that went. Or even if I was the one, I may not have been able to say it, but I would have been tempted to say, Ma, that's why you are sick. The reason why you are sick is why you think you should be well. It is the reason why you are sick. Not the offering itself. It's the confidence in the works of your hands. That is why. Oh, you wanted to pay God for healing that Jesus paid for. You are insulting him. If you wanted to be well, you should have just said, Jesus, Pastor Mark said you died for my sins. He showed me in the Bible that you nailed my sickness to the cross. And he was teaching me today that if I would just believe, if it's true, Lord, help me to believe. I focus on that word. Based upon it, heal me. I receive that healing in the name of Jesus. You are closer to salvation like that. Your money can't buy you anything, no. It is not the way by which you persuade the Lord to do what he does not want to do. Your prosperity is not on the basis of your own money. All of them are based on what Jesus did on the cross. Your money cannot buy you forgiveness of sins. If anybody tells you it does, I've seen people say, go and sow a seed for the deliverance of your grandchildren. If you lie, sow a tree, they won't be delivered. Take a whole tree and sow it. Did the Bible not say the seed is the word of God? You think it's your money? It's not. You want something for your children? Ask God for it. Hey, what is wrong with kneeling down and asking in the name of Jesus? We have undermined that name repeatedly, we preachers. The name is not good enough. The sacrifice is not good enough. We need to do our own. No. It's an insult. It's enough. I tell people, if you want to pray, no, I tell people, look, you want to ask something from God, don't give any offering. You won't get it if you do. Yeah, go away with that prophetic word. Anytime you give an offering, raise your hands and worship God for the ability to give. If you ever bring out money and put it and say, God, this is for my car, the one you have will catch fire. No, there was a time God overlooked some things, but now he's commanding people to repent. You put money down, Lord, this is for my successful wedding ceremony. Your fiance is about to find another person. Because no, heaven is tired of this rubbish. Heaven is tired of this rubbish, treating God like he's not a father. Treating him like Jesus is not paid for things. Let me end it here, looking at my time. I'll end it here. But I think I've done what we're supposed to do. To let people know what money cannot do. Tomorrow, hopefully, if the Holy Spirit allows, along the line, I will talk about, people say that, can there be a curse on somebody's finances? It's in the Bible, there can be. We'll talk about it briefly. But don't worry, I'm not going anywhere beyond the fact that Jesus broke the curse. Yes. It must end in Jesus Christ. If it doesn't end, why are we Christians? We may as well be Hindus. But sometimes we say, is there a curse on my money? Yes, it can be. Then we'll see how Christians, sometimes after God has broken the curse in Christ Jesus, they now use their hands to be borrowing curses and attach it to it. But listen to me, it's not ancestral. It's today's behavior. You own a filling station. If you dispense 10 liters, somebody pays for 10 liters and you dispense 9 liters, there's a curse on your station. The blood of Jesus doesn't cover that one. Those who tell you that God does not punish sin in the believer, they are lying to you. God will punish, look, oh God. God punishes sin in the believer. And punishes the Christian that sins. So he tells them, judge yourselves. Otherwise, I will be the one to judge you. Nobody lied that lie to you. I heard a man preaching, said that Jesus is not a lion, he's a lamb. That when John was seen lion, he was not seen properly. Because in Revelation, John said the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He says it's the lamb that prevailed. You know, sometimes when people don't use it, come pulpit, we just yen or pata anyhow. We're talking nonsense. Jesus, that's one part of him I like to talk about. People trap Jesus is a lamb. I tell people, say the Jesus that they carry in the cradle. That one was crucified. That one don't die, thank you. The one that rose from the dead. When it's approaching, you know what happens? The mountains melt. So they melt like wax. You know when fire is approaching wax, you know the wax starts dissolving. So that's how the mountains melt when the Lord is coming. That's the Jesus. The Jesus that John will see. Jesus that John that used to lie on his bosom. John saw him and fell as if he was dead. The Jesus that he looked into his eyes like fire burning. Please don't play with him. The time of slapping him and telling him who slapped you. Prophesy. Slap him now. Your hand will melt like wax. Get it clear. What am I trying to say? You're a businessman as a Christian. You can use your hands to place a curse on your work. Listen, it's your affliction that will catch fire. The unbelievers, it will not. You know why it won't? Their father, the devil. It is normal what they are doing. God is not trying to discipline them. They are waiting for the day of judgment, the fiery day of judgment. You is correction. So as you are dispensing it, every house you use the short delivery to build, you will not know. Now so they collect your cement too. And it's God that's supervising the collection of your cement. When you no, I'm telling you, you would ask the architect will say, put 10 bags. They will supply 10 bags. The boys don't sell 3. They put 7, mix them. The mercy God will show you, the day of collapse, you will go to church. It's God's mercy. As you and your children say, oh yeah, let's go to your synagogue. You come like, you drive out of the corner, you hear Gideon. There used to be a house here. What happened? God will say, it's all the money you collected from not delivering people's goods to them correct. He said, because an unjust weight is an abomination to the Lord. That's how Christians put curses in their finances. It's not the ancestral curse. Ancestral curse, Jesus has nailed that one to the cross. There's no handwriting. People say near success syndrome. It's a normal thing. In this life, everything is near success. Just stay there. Eventually, your success will come. And also, don't feel so privileged. I have a special curse on my life. I'm near success syndrome. Forget that. The Bible says it is those who through faith and patience. If everything works rapidly, why would we need patience? Do you know Abraham believed God for 25 years before Isaac came?
Yes.
Do you know it took Moses a whole night to divide the Red Sea? That one you watch in film that Moses just did like this, but it's not true. He lifted up his hand, put his rod over it. Hand tired the guy. He kept it up. Patience is part of the work of a believer. God is going to reveal what you're supposed to do to you, but it doesn't mean you'll break through tomorrow. You will stay there. He will give you reasons to stay. Sometimes, God, you know one of the reasons he gives people? You start a company, you've invested your money, it's worth about 20 million and everything. But 2 years, you're just managing to keep going, and you want to shut it down. But God will have given you 5 people, 10 members of staff who are committed, who you can pay their salaries. You're not making much money for yourself. You hardly are making anything, but you can pay them. God will give them to you as a reason to stay. So anytime you want to shut down, say, how do I lay this young girl off? This man has 3 children. He depends on this. How do I lay him off? You will check those things and say, no, let us stay. God just gave you a reason of love to stay. That's the real seed in the realm of the spirit. That is the real seed in the realm of the spirit. And you stay in that business for another 3 years. Then one day, you won't even know. You just turn around. Our turnover has increased tenfold. Our profit has quadrupled. You just look. What is going on? It is now when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. It will now be like a dream. Listen, nobody should tell you that. You give an offering today, tomorrow you break through. It doesn't happen like that, though. For those it happened like that too, the offering that worked was not that day they sold it. It's when they sold 10 years ago. But they themselves, they've forgotten. He said he himself does not know how. I hope you're getting my point. We'll talk about it, but let's end it here today. I think we have done the bit of just removing the things that are negative, that we have held on to money, making a mistake concerning what God intends for you to be. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for your word today. Say, Lord, thank you for your word today.